Okay, I'd like to call a meeting to order at 11 minutes after 10. This is the New York State Thoroughbred Breeding and Development Fund, September 22nd, 2011, in Saratoga Springs, New York. I'm Chairman John Sabini. We're joined by members of the fund board, including Harry Snyder by phone. And then the our normal representative from the Department of Agriculture and Markets, Matt Morgan, could not be with us today, so Jeff Palmer is representing Commissioner Overtime and has his proxy. Thank you for coming, Jeff. And we're also joined by our Executive Director, Tracy Egan. A quorum is present, and so we'll call the meeting to order. It's a fairly short agenda, but one that's mandated by a upcoming deadline on our mission statement. First, you have all received the minutes of August 4th. Any comments, changes, additions, corrections?
I have one change I wanted to.
Okay.
Sorry. In the last paragraph, we've got this is a discussion about the letter that was sent to Charlie Haywood, and I see we got a response finally. It was duly seconded and unanimously approved. I think unanimous should be interjected in there.
Which paragraph is this, Joe?
This is the last paragraph.
And you want unanimously in front of the
right.
Word approved. Okay.
Oh, just have the word unanimously?
Yes.
Yeah.
It just reflects everyone's support of it is all it is, that there's no dissension among
any
troops.
Any objection to that change other than that? Any other changes? I'll now entertain Dr. Wilmot's motion to approve the minutes as amended. Is there a second?
Second.
By Mr. Graziano. All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Thank you, Harry. By the way, as a motion of housekeeping, I want to congratulate Mr. Graziano on his reappointment to this board. We just received a letter on that last week, so you're stuck with us for a while again. Next item is the discussion approvals of the completed financials of June and July. Mike DeMarco is here, and I'd ask him to elucidate.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Nothing of note other than that the trends earlier in the year continued with increased revenue with NYRA along the lines as budgeted and adjusted thereafter. Our administrative and promotional expenses have dropped commensurate with the drops in revenue for this year. The payment timeliness of our revenue sources continues to be better than it had been in the previous. We're looking at all of the folks paying just within 30 days, and then two OTBs, Capital and Catskill, are availing themselves of the option that they have to pay within a 90-day cycle, and they're continuing on that. So our accounts receivable are turning over very nicely, and I think that's it. If there are any questions from anybody or any.
Any questions on the financials for June and July? Okay, can I have a motion and approve?
So moved.
The financials. Moved by Senator Nolan. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Mr. Tesoro. All those in favor?
Aye.
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 I want to mention for the record that Controller DiNapoli's office is conducting an audit of the fund. Auditors are present today and have been at the offices of the fund for a period of time now. And looking at how our revenues are determined, they were also a presence at our last meeting. We welcome them. And, have we lost Harry?
Yeah.
Yeah.
to watch him.
He's on his cell phone.
Okay, I'm on.
Okay.
Thanks.
Thank you. Next item is the discussion and approval of the 2012 budget. The funds required to file a proposed budget with the authority's budget office October 1. And the item will be transmitted to the ABO if the budget is approved today. I'll ask Tracy and Mike for a report on that.
Well, basically, we are still projecting, we haven't heard otherwise than that the VLTs will be operational in October. So this budget reflects, we're looking into next year. We've revised upwards our estimate of what the VLT revenue will be based on what the lottery has been told and by what Michael Speller, the president of Resorts World New York, has been telling the public. We still haven't gone as high as Michael Speller's estimates. We might have time to do that. We'll probably have another meeting in December to discuss next year's budget, and we can revise at that point when we have a couple of months of seeing what the machines are actually bringing in.
Machine? Can we get on a landline?
I don't know. He's at his house in Cape Cod.
Is that a landline?
Originally he gave me a landline number, but then he, last night he said he wanted us to call him on his cell phone.
He called me this morning and said we had to call him on his cell. I'll try again.
Stand closer to the tin can, Harry.
Okay.
Harry, we're talking about the budget projection for next year, and we think we have a fairly conservative budget proposal, basing our revenue on a relatively conservative expectation of VLT income, and it's over $17 million. And as we discussed the other day, that budget will allow us to, we believe, pay all awards at our previous levels of 20% across the board, first, second, third.
For the breeders,
and 10% across the board for the for out-of-state sired horses. And also to not have to do a withholding, which I think would be met as very good news by the breeders, and hopefully will encourage them to maybe purchase mares at sales to fold in this coming year and to breed the mares that they have to increase the fold crop.
And I think we saw evidence of that at the Phasic Tipton sale just this August. So sales were fairly robust.
This number here we got here, the $9.5 million for breeders
for the
award.
Breeders.
He said good news for breeders.
Yeah. At $9.5 million, this projected number, what are we at this year?
We're going to end up the year, I think, 5.6, roughly.
5.6 million. All right, now, I'm wondering if we're being a little too conservative here. If we're at 5.6 this year, we're going to end up, we got a declining foaling crop. We're seeing an increase of revenue to $4 million in that category, right?
Mm-hmm.
We're going back to the 20 and 10 schedule. I don't know what that accounts for, how much money you recapture in that. But my point here is going to be that this is the year where we should be looking at increasing breeders' awards, and we should be looking at attracting the attention of everybody in the country to bring mares into the state. And to do it in February or March, after we look at the numbers, isn't going to get it. People make their plans in November, and I think that we ought to rework these numbers a little bit and see if we can increase the breeders' awards.
You mean to above 20%?
To above 20%. I mean, we're clearly going to have a surplus here. I mean, we've only had 752 foals in New York State this year.
How many? Seven?
752.
52.
New York Sire.
New York foals, altogether.
New York Sire. Those are New York Sire numbers.
So the jockey club puts out a number?
Those aren't not including out of state.
No.
Yes.
752, it says, registered New York foals.
By New York Stallions.
No, well, then they're wrong in everywhere else, every other place.
That's just the way they report it.
So what's the number?
I got this for them a few years ago. They haven't reported the out-of-state part of it, yeah. We get that when Tracy's done with the numbers.
What do you think the number is, Tracy, based on your field inspections?
I think it will be about, I think I figured out, like, a little below 1,400 foals.
So you think there's twice as many?
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, which makes sense because about half the mares have been going out of state to get covered.
So where are we comparatively to the year before on that?
15% down.
We're 15% down?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Roughly, give or take.
So if we're 15% down, then we still are we're still at a number here that looks pretty like
well,
we're going to have a surplus.
We didn't look at the issue from a higher percentage point. We looked at it from a point of view of the previously advertised rates were 20-20-20 for mm-hmm. in-state sired, 10-10-10 for out-of-state sired. And we've had withholdings for many years now. So we're looking at it from the standpoint there will be no withholding and people will be getting full rates. And then it's up to the board if they want to go back to the original statute, had us paying down to fourth place. And that would be up to the board of directors if they wanted also us to pay down to fourth place.
Well, my question is still the same question, regardless of what the numbers are. You got a big increase here, and if we can increase the award schedule, we should do it. The withholding has nothing to do with it whatsoever. I mean, the withholding only is a balancing thing. It's just something to equalize everything. It's equalizing, right? It's all it is at the end of the year. It has nothing to do
to
with
make sure we have money.
There's nothing.
Yeah.
Right. But you've got money this year. You've got more money than you thought this year with the same number of horses running. Mm. There's a less number of races being run. New York Reds are running in less races at NYRA tracks. So, I mean, I'm just wondering if that's too conservative a number. I mean, the time to attract mares into New York State isn't going to be next spring. The time to attract mares into New York State is going to be right now.
Yeah.
And I'm just saying that.
And the same thing with stallions.
And the same thing with stallions. And I'm saying that if I'm guessing that NYRA is going to come out with a purse structure that's going to show a healthy increase in races come January 1st. And I think that it would be a very good thing if we could come out before that and say our breeders' awards are going to get increased by some percentage. And I don't know what that is. I'd have to depend on Mike and Tracy on that. But the point is that you're not going to get too many opportunities in life to do this. In fact, you're not going to get maybe any. And if we have extra money next year in June or July, that's not going to help the foal crop. So I'm just saying that the fund should
ride a motorcycle.
Are you speeding?
So I'm just saying that I think the fund needs to try to get that number up. And I think that that's very important right now. And we've got a big number in here for owners' awards. We've got a pretty big number in here for
stallions
and purses. I mean, I'm just across the board. It looks very healthy.
Yeah. How much is everything else going up? The stallion awards and owners' awards from that year to this year. Do we know?
No. Almost about $1 million.
So it's next year.
The owners about $1 million off of last year's. Close to that, Stallion, I think a little less.
So my question to you then, I guess I'll ask Mike, is, you know, is there more money in there? Are we too conservative in this thing? And I know you're an economist.
It's difficult to predict with the, well, we have what, fewer races, but then on the other hand, we're having the expectation of larger purses at both tracks. There may be money to entertain a rating.
Mike, is the $9.5 million, did you get to that calculation based, how did we get to that calculation?
Tried to equalize it along with what the mix has been in prior years, mm-hmm. and just kind of move that up with the available extra pool of money.
Right.
Yeah.
Based on the base number from the last year and awards earned from the last year.
Yeah, and then first of all, backing out the statutory amounts, promo, admin, and this WAG that have to come off.
Yeah.
And then the breakage is expected to be flat mm-hmm. this year. And that left really the awards and the person rich guys.
So it's essentially what's left for the category.
It's what's left, yes.
And the big question really, Joe, is it's kind of the other way around. How much are New York Breds going to earn in awards if we paid it that rate next year based on purses being worth whatever and based on whatever that number is? Yeah. That's really
how much,
the question.
Where would we be if we were at 20% this year? That's the question. If we were at 20% across the board this year with the available funds, where would we be?
I did look at going back to full rates for 2010, and I believe it would roughly have been an addition.
2011?
No, I did both. For 2010, for the full year, we had roughly $250,000 more in potential award activity at full rates for breeders.
Full rates.
So we would have still had money for a breeder supplemental. It would have been on the order of $500,000 to $600,000 instead of $800,000.
If we paid it 2020.
Yes, correct.
2020.
For this year.
That was last year. And I did run the numbers for the first, I think the first two full periods or two and a half periods for this year. And it was about the same. You know, we're looking at maybe $300,000-$400,000 more.
If we paid full this year.
For the breeder, yeah.
And we're saying we've paid $5.6 million right now.
Right.
And if we paid in full, that number would have been what?
5.8, 5.9, roughly.
So we're talking roughly a $3 million increase. Awards that there's a gap. I would have to think, you would correct me if I'm wrong, the awards are going to be earned very similar to this year, right? Based on number of races. Well, the only difference is going to be the purses that are going up.
Yeah.
Right.
That's really the only difference. So whatever that net change is, you'd have to calculate the same race number and awards earned. That's really the difference, I think. There. That's probably how it gets.
I would think the mix in terms of the percent of total awards earned will skew up more in favor of NIRA, obviously, because they're the ones who did first enrichment. Finger Lakes, I would expect them to be the same or maybe have a slight increase, just because they don't have really any new sources of money other than whatever extra purse enrichment will give them for their own purse structure. So if they run enough New York races and they change what their plans are, that'll significantly impact us. It's something that'll have to be looked at very closely.
Right.
Particularly with no withholding. I mean, right now we have a 10% leeway before we hit the statutory cap for this revenue amount.
Right.
And
I think that if you took
statutory cap.
If you're saying that if we paid in full on awards for this past year, we paid the old rates,
yes.
It'd be worth around $6 million, right? Roughly.
Yeah.
If the numbers, based on the fact that 30% of NIRA's races are restricted, right?
Or what, Jeff?
Are restricted New York Red races.
Okay.
If you apply that 30% increase to the purses, meaning that whatever NIRA's bump is going to be 30% on those races, that's basically about a $1.8 million increase, first money that we'd have to pay out in awards. That would put us at like $7.8 million potentially in awards. Call it $8 million. So I think Joe's point is definitely valid, that there's probably going to be leftover gap in awards at the end of the day with what happens next year. If we paid at 20-20-20, 10-10-10.
Based the NIRA, going to the NIRA projection just very quickly, that's based on 400 net win per machine.
Mm-hmm.
I think for this year, remainder of this year was going to be at 350, which Yonkers has already hit. Well, based on 400 net win per machine, the NIRA would be getting almost $45 million of money for purse.
I just want to make sure I haven't lost the thread. If I've got what we're saying here, this Breeders Award, 9.5, I kind of, you know, I understand, Mike, I came up with the number, and that Joe and Jeff are saying, well, we may have money left over. Granted, there'll be purse increases, but the number of New York Reds racing or New York Red races, or both, however you want to look at it, to be about the same, so that we'll have some dough left. And I guess the next logical thing is what Joe was bringing up, what do you do with the money? And, you know, over the last several years, we've had committees and looked at different ideas, had some meetings with NIRA, which seemed to have kind of dried up a little bit with their racing folks. I'm with Joe on that. Is that if we have some extra dough, you know, what are we going to do with it? And we do. It's always hard for me, anyway, to remember what we can do on our own and what we need legislation for. We've had some interesting talks over the years about, you know, grade one winners getting a boost, perhaps worldwide, things like that, You know, maybe this is the time to look at something like that, or other great creative ideas. We're eventually going to get to another part of the program here, which I don't really mean to jump ahead, but Mr. Hayward's opinion on purse parity will come up. And I think one of the things that points out is that I believe that NIRA has worked pretty well with the fund and the breeders over, particularly over the last several years. But I think that our interests are not always aligned, and that there are going to be differences. And so, you know, perhaps we or a subset of we here think there should be purse parity, and Mr. Hayward has another opinion. Sorry, reasonable people can disagree, but, you know, maybe we want to disagree on other ends than, things like how is the stallion stakes run? I mean, maybe we can put some of the money in that. Maybe we don't want to pay maiden restricted claimers or restricted claimers or bottom races. Again, things we've looked at before and had a lot of pushback on. But Joe's point is well taken. We've been putting fires out for years and trying to survive by the skin of our teeth. And now, finally, there might be some light at the end of the tunnel to just do business as usual. Yeah. End of speech.
Well, the issue we have here is, the newly created authority's budget office has deadlines. We have to submit a budget that reflects our plans for next year. But, you know, certainly I share Mr. McMahon's goal of trying to do the best we can for the people we're supposed to serve. The question is the money there? I happen to think that, and I've said this publicly, I think that Resorts World is actually being conservative in their projections because they want to look great when they happen. I mean, if they're predicting Yonkers-like numbers, but they're on a subway line. And I think they're going to have, a nicer facility in Yonkers. So I think we're going to see a pretty good boost. But again, it's hard to spend money we don't have yet.
Well, we're looking at roughly a 30% increase in that category. 30% is where, you know, that's what the... That's with going to the 20%. We still have got about a 30% difference there, or likely difference, as you point out, based on our numbers. And you know, I know it's a hard decision to make, it's a hard call, but we still, if we're going to try to encourage people to come into the state, and we're going to try to grow this business in New York State, don't forget, we've taken a huge hit over the last 5 years in numbers of horses, number of farms, numbers of people involved. And an opportunity like this is, we should find a way. And I really can't stress enough that if we wait and do this in the spring, it's going to have no effect.
Yeah.
Absolutely no
effect. I'll echo that in that, and I don't know what the number is, so that I'm not saying this with the knowledge that I have a figure in mind. But, you know, as we've all learned, things change in this business rapidly. And once we get up and running, other states will react and have some other gambit that they'll try. So.
Right.
Joe,
we're not in a vacuum.
I know your committee has looked into the possibility of paying awards to breeders if their horse performs in a graded stakes outside of New York State. Do you think that would have a beneficial effect on the foal crop?
I think that if you look at all the numbers, how much money's in the total pool, the number that I think is, in my opinion, is most important is to cover all the breeders for races in New York. And I think it would be great to pay awards outside of the state of New York for graded races. I thought it was ridiculous. We won the Kentucky Derby, didn't get a nickel more for it. I thought that was absurd. But that's kind of another issue. I think that this is a simple thing that we can do to boost our awareness, to boost our attractiveness.
It's a jobs growth.
It's saying that we're here, we're in business, we're going to keep doing business, and it's out in front of it before, you know, when it can do some good. You know, NYRA's going to come up with a number probably in the next couple of weeks of what their purse increases are going to be. And you know, it's gonna bring more people into New York races. You're gonna look at probably $60,000 maiden races in January, in the middle of winter. That's gonna attract a lot of people into the state. That's their plan anyway. That's what they'd like to see. We could have the same thing with people joining the breeding ranks here in the state of New York if we could get out and make a similar type of thing. A return to the status quo is not enough. Because I agree with you 100%. Pennsylvania and other states are going to react the same way. Right now, you can still go to Pennsylvania and run for a $60 per or $60,000 purse and pay $80 a day training bills, or maybe 70. So New York has still got a little bit to gain in that department. But the difference, of course, is would you rather be at Philadelphia Park or Saratoga?
And if you read yesterday's news clips, also with no vets on the premises at some time.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Right.
I think that to address your concern that the budget has to be sent through, I think that this budget is probably fine. I mean, these are the numbers. We just need to figure out as a board how we divvy that number up is really what it comes down to. So it might not be the budget office problem. It might be this board figuring out how to utilize $9.5 million to breeders.
I would agree with that to alleviate the situation, to move it along, that's fine. But I still think that, you know, this fall, this is September now, I don't know when our next board meeting is.
It'll be sometime, hopefully in December.
Yeah.
See, we need to have one way before that. Yeah. We need to have one in
Keeneland sale
in October before people go to the Keeneland sale to
we
know.
We can do that. If that's what you want to do, we can do that.
Well, I mean, if there's any chance of increasing these amounts, if we've got more information by then, then that's something that has to be done.
Let me propose this then as an alternative, that we schedule a meeting sometime in October. And that in advance of that meeting, that Joe McMahon and Dr. Wilmot get together with Mike and Tracy and do some skull work as to where we think a good number is. But that in the meantime, we pass this and submit.
What's the sale date in October?
Yeah, yeah.
November 6th, I think it starts.
About 2 weeks.
And it's a 2 week long sale. But it's
after the Breeders' Cup.
Yeah.
Right, it starts immediately after the Breeders' Cup.
Right, like a Monday.
Right.
So it's
and
like
that's when
6th to the 7th.
that's when you would, you know, before that sale is when you would have an impact.
That would be the time, right at the Breeders' Cup, or, you know, as that whole thing's going, as Joe says, just as that sale's going to hit, that would be your...
Is that acceptable to you two guys, and Mike and Tracy? Okay.
Sure.
So then, set or no?
Mr. Chairman, and Joe's absolutely right, obviously, that I just got back from the Keeneland sales yesterday. And, you know, a lot of people are asking about the New York program and so on. But there's still some skepticism whether it's really going to happen. Now, a lot of people have said, yeah, it's going to happen. But there's a lot of people out there also, is that really going to happen? Are you really going to have... Yeah, I tell them, yes, definitely happening. But there's still a certain amount of skepticism until they actually open and start generating revenue. I mean, that's... Now, can we find a way to forecast more? That's up to our financial expert, Mike. And, I mean, we certainly can use Yonkers as a guideline. And Aqueduct's got to be better than Yonkers. You've got a much bigger population.
I guarantee it.
Yeah, no question.
Yeah, plus they have a high-end place for people who don't want to bet $20 at a time. They want to bet hundreds at a time.
You got all of Long Island, and you got all of New York City. I mean, numbers are numbers.
There are lots of things in the resorts world plan that are going to, I think, be a blockbuster number. They're going to have... high-end restaurants, they're going to have Asian hosts, and as someone who represented a good swath of Queens, I can tell you there's a substantial Asian population. I think they're going to be very successful.
Perhaps this is an opportunity to put a formal request into NYRA for what the purse structure is going to be for this winter or next year, because
they're not going to move on our schedule. We're going to move on their...
No, but I think that they had a racing committee meeting, or they're about to have a racing committee meeting to talk about, to make that decision. So
they had that yesterday.
I know they've been talking about 15%, but if it's 15% on the New York red purses, that would bring a 40,000 maiden special weight up to about 46, right?
Right.
And that will pale in comparison to what the open company purse is.
You're likely to see a difference in $10,000 of what's the likely number that you'll see.
Okay, so they run for 60, between, you run for 50.
Right. That's
the same,
right.
Same difference.
That's the number that you're likely to see. I don't know if that's, that's just a guess.
But that would allow Mike to come up with fairly accurate numbers for what awards would be. That's really the point of it. If you had an understanding of what the purse structure is, we can calculate exactly what the awards are going to be.
Mr. Chairman, I'm jumping ahead a little bit because I know on the agenda is the letter that Tracy wrote to Charlie Haywood and his response. Wouldn't it be a good idea to invite Charlie to come to our next meeting and let him listen to the concerns of us who are on the board?
Can do that.
Now, will it change anything? Probably not. But at least he'll get the message. And they're very obviously attuned to the political situation, the politics of all of this. And the New York Breeders have enjoyed a very good relationship with NYRA over the last few years, but we've been really helping them out a lot, too, because of...
Could say that.
You know, I mean...
You could say that.
But we don't want them to forget about that.
Right.
Now, they've got people on that board that, you know, their only thought is that we're going to have the best racing in the world, and care about New York Breeders, and there are people like that. In fact, Rick Violet, they've made a statement about 10 days before Saratoga closed along those similar lines. And he's got New York breads in his stable. But that's an attitude that some people have. I talked to Mike Shanley about it because he's very involved in the on their board. And he was going to bring that up at the meeting. And he, of course, is very pro us because he's a New York breeder. But there's still a lingering feeling among some of those people that are very anti-New York, essentially, even though they're a board member of the New York Bridging Association. And I don't know if you're ever going to really change some of their attitudes unless they feel that if they don't do it, that it's going to somehow affect NYRA in a different way. One other thing just mentioned, I see the governor a few weeks ago made a great appointment, in my judgment, of Ben Liebman as his deputy secretary, I guess, in charge of racing. Liebman is as knowledgeable about this business as anybody in the state, really. Present company accepted. And that's a guy that maybe we ought to, you know, do a little schmoozing. I don't think we have to, but it's certainly not going to hurt.
The board today of NYRA is not the way it was composed 20 years ago. How, there are 9 appointments on that board by the governor?
Yep.
I think they're a different group of people than the old NYRA. The old NYRA had money, but they didn't. It wasn't complicated.
I'm not going to make editorial comment on the conduct of the NYRA.
You got to regulate.
I don't think it's changed that much.
I agree.
I don't think it's changed that much, in at least not in thought process. Look, we can approve this budget. We can do some skull work in anticipation of having another meeting in October. We can invite Charlie to that meeting. You can invite Ben to that meeting if you want. It's all good as far as I'm concerned. We're here to help.
Myself, I mean, I'll make a motion to accept this budget as it is. We'll go on with the committee structure.
Okay.
I mean, so, if that's what you want to do.
Right. There's a motion by Joe McMahon to accept the budget and submit it to the ABO. Is there a second?
Second.
Second, all those in favor?
Aye.
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 Okay. Item is approved. Next item on the agenda is promotional activities. Jeff Canizzo and Crystal Judas are here.
I've got a document here on item passed around.
There was an item I was going to bring up relevant to this year's contract. Just some numbers that we needed to nail down, but I think we're going to meet after this meeting to talk about the specifics of that. So I'll hold that off till after the meeting. I got what I just handed out as a report for the last month since we met in the beginning of August, so it's been a short period of time here, but I highlighted items that I wanted to discuss. We held our pre-sales cocktail party, which I'm sure everyone is well aware of. It was on the 13th of August. I had roughly 200 people at that event, which is the most amount that I've had in the last 3 years, the greatest amount anyways. So we're seeing a lot of people interested in being involved in activities and things that are going on, which is very good news, of course. We had a forum in which Rick Violet was at, and I believe that's probably the area that Chairman was talking about where he made a comment.
Howard not made a giving drop.
That was actually on the same day in the morning there on the 13th. There was about 150 people there, believe it or not. At that same forum a year ago, there was about 40 people there. So you can see the change in times a little bit.
I'm not as big a draw as Trump.
Well, we actually had Michael Speller from Resort Worlds there, and I think he was really the draw for everyone. And he gave an elaborate plan of what Resort World is going to look like, so it was pretty neat to hear directly from the source. And that's where a lot of the numbers that he published came from, was from that actual session itself. We did a new owner seminar with Toba on the 11th of August during the meet. The second page, this is some work that we got forecasted out for next month at Showcase Day. We're doing a lunch, and I'm bringing a bus down, which was similar to last year, to Showcase Day from here from Saratoga to help draw 50 plus people to Showcase Day from the Saratoga region. We're holding the event in the West Spring Room at Belmont Park. In addition to that, and really just as important, we're purchasing some advertising and television space with NYRA to run during that day to help promote all the things we're talking about here in regards to the future of the program. We've produced the last 2 months New York Reader Magazine, some interesting things about the website. I did a snapshot of the 6 week Saratoga meet, and the numbers are pretty fantastic. We published 70 different articles pertaining to New York reading, racing, and sales, and that's a significant number. Over those 6 weeks, we had over 400 win photos of both Finger Lakes and Saratoga racetracks, pedigrees, along with race charts, and over 400 video race replays that we've been publishing there on the website. And the last sentence there, I think, is significant. During that 6 week meet, we had an amazing 10,000 visits by 5,000 different people that viewed 31,000 pages. So there was a lot of traffic going on relevant to things we were publishing. We've done our e-newsletters, as everyone's familiar with, every Friday over that period. And there's been two recent hearings, meetings that we've been a part of. On Tuesday the 6th, we gave a testimony at the Senate Racing and Gaming hearing out in Canandaigua, in the Finger Lakes region, relevant to breeding and racing. Talked about the downward trends and what's happened in the actual industry. And then actually, 2 days ago, I was present in an ADW discussion that Chairman Gary Kretlow of the Assembly had, talking about advanced deposit wagering and things that the legislature is looking to do with ADW wagering. And essentially, the comments we provided, the fact that the fund doesn't participate in any out-of-state wagering. So that discussion is currently going on, and I'm assuming that we'll see some movement by the legislature to talk about ADW. That's a quick snapshot of the last month from NYTD. I think that what I'd like to do in over maybe the next fund board meeting or whenever we get together, obviously prior to the year, is look at, if you looked at next year's budget, obviously the revenue of the fund is going to be significantly larger. And if you take a look at the last page of the budget proposal that Mike provided us, you can see a breakdown of, you know, where the fund and where NYTV is going to be spending money. I think it would be great if we can nail down some type of marketing or promotional plan of how NYTV and the fund can work together in detail for next year. Maybe at the next meeting I can bring some a plan for next year for NYTV's sake, and maybe the fund can have some ideas and we can nail that down for how we want to utilize the promotional revenue and you know, look for next year's contract too for NYTV. But that's, you know, if you looked at that page, there's, you know, the fund's going to have $150,000 for advertising. Our current, if we went along with the current contract, 37%, our contract net worth would go up significantly. And then if you look at the bottom line, which I think is interesting too, there's going to be roughly $239,000 in admin and $221,000 in promo left over. The point is that there's going to be money to utilize to better promote what we're doing. So basically, I'd like to prepare something for the next meeting, and maybe the fund or something, have a high level plan of what we're going to do for the year. I think it's appropriate.
That's fine. Let me. I just posed a odd question to Tracy. I'll open it up to the floor. Is it, since we want to have a meeting in late October, would it be crazy to have it on showcase day? I mean, you all have to be at the window the whole day.
My next scheduled NYTV meeting is showcase day. I mean, I would be happy to do that, but if we could work around that, I'm going to have to be at that meeting.
What time is your meeting?
Before noon, so I was going to have it around 10:30.
I think you're having a bus come down.
I won't be riding. I'll have to come down earlier to attend that meeting.
I ride the bus.
I mean, can we have it?
Right.
I'm thinking during a card, you know, ask Myra for a room.
Yeah, I'm fine with that, absolutely.
Does that mess up anyone's plans? Because the timing is right, you want to have it before the team wants to sell.
Saturday the 27th.
Right.
What's the date of the 22nd?
Saturday the 22nd.
Saturday the 22nd.
We've never had a meeting outside of Saratoga Springs, but there's no reason we can't.
We have.
Not since I've been chairman.
Yeah, no, I'm, if we could do it during that time, it'd help for me.
Mr. Hayward's there.
Yep.
No, we didn't.
Yeah.
Wow.
So that'll, you know.
No, that's a busy.
Oh, that's great.
I have a quick question, and maybe I missed it. I know that last year we talked about it. I thought about it when Jeff mentioned that there's actually money left over, and we're actually budgeting income, or we're not using some of the admin promotional money. But last year, I think it was this time of year, we had talked about trying to put in legislation and maybe doing some kind of program legislation so that the money could be carried over year after year. And I don't know whatever happened with that, but obviously as we move forward and with the unpredictability of all this, I think that that's something.
Jeff's very in tune with what happens when you talk about carrying over money, right?
Yeah, the first thing I'll answer with that is that Chris, and you can feel free to chime in here, Chris and I have met with Ron and the Racing Board, and we have some plans in terms of what we want to initiate program bill-wise and what NYTV will initiate legislatively, and that is one of the items that we're going to be looking to do and make happen next year, along with the same other items that we've talked about over the course of this year. But I can tell you that there has been some initial negative feedback in terms of carrying balances over for a state public side of the corporation. So we have to keep that in mind, that when you say that there's revenue at hand, I'm not sure if that's a good thing
right.
for anyone to hear.
Right. The other thing is that last year there were no departmental bills submitted by any agency because the governor wanted to focus on the budget and getting it done quickly, but we are going to be offering them next year, I'm told. So it is in our mix, at least for the board's mix right now. We haven't submitted our list yet, but it is in the mix.
Oops. Excuse me.
That is a cap of my promotional activity.
Any questions for Jeff or for Chris? I just want to announce that my role as chairman of the Racing Wagering Board, I appointed a Racing Fan Advisory Council, which came as a result of a request from the State Senate. The council will provide advice and input to the board and to all functions, really, of racing. From the fan perspective, there'll be five members, three appointed by me, and one each by the chair of the two respective committees. On September 2nd, I announced the appointments that of four of the five members, Professor Patrick Connors from Albany Law School will chair the panel. Michael Amo from Thoroughfan, the organization of fans that have been set up by him. He's from Orange County. He will be a member. Alan Carter, who is the historian at the National Thoroughbred Racing Museum right here in Saratoga. And Kelly Young, who is at the Farm Bureau, Director of National Affairs for the New York State Farm Bureau, and has won a number of awards for her writing on standardbred. A fifth member will be appointed at a later date by Assembly Racing and Wagering Chair Gary Pretlock. And these folks will operate without pay, but we look forward to their input as well. Promotional activities. I'd ask our Executive Director, Tracy Egan, to give a report.
Sure. Earlier this year, I think it was about June, because the fund had made changes and basically all retirees were asked to contribute to their health benefits, and all the staff members were already contributing to staff members, but to staff, to the benefits. So Michael was able to show me there was a small amount of money available to me to do promotion. And I mean, you know, a small amount. So we could take the occasional ad out. And in the Thoroughbred Times, places where readers had been used to seeing ads. I know there was a lot of promotion in Thoroughbred Daily News, which is an excellent choice that Jeff made. But it's a very much an insider, it's very educated horse people go to the Thoroughbred Daily News. And so we have a small presence on there where if a New York bred, it's in your packet, you'll see the first ads show the adlets, they're called. New York bred start with a big advantage. So if you go to that site and you see a New York bred, has this is we, Miss Frankie, who won the Grade 1 debutante out in Del Mar, California. So you click on that, and you would come to our website, and on the right-hand side of the page, there was a, well, there's message about why, it's the same message I had for the Versus viewers, which is why we say now we start with a bigger advantage. And a lot of bigger advantage is the fact that our purses will be enhanced by VLT revenue. And so that every time a New York bred finishes first, second, and third in a graded stakes, we get an entry. They win a maiden special weight. We get it, that little symbol below, New York bred star with a bigger advantage. And again, you click on that, you come to our website. Because apparently a lot of our readers don't spend a lot of time online, there have been a lot of complaints to me that we don't see ads in their traditional places where they wanted to see them, the Blood Horse and the Thoroughbred Times. The Blood Horse, I didn't have much money to spend. I didn't do advertising except for online at the Blood Horse. At Thoroughbred Times, I would take ads out, like Get Ready Because Here They Come, and it shows the New York bred in the VLT machine, visually sending the message that they're really here, they're, you know, you're about to get your money. For Tobo, we took an ad out in the annual award night dinner program to honor Vivian Malloy. Not just because Vivian Malloy is an absolutely stellar person, she's also a terrific example of what we want to encourage among New York readers, which is to strive for excellence. That's a message that at the meeting that the NYTV hosted in August, that Terrence Collier from Kasich Tipton was saying, basically, don't try to be a lesser program, try to be a better program. And Vivian is certainly one of those people who demonstrates that we are a better program. After the Sheikh Mohammed bought a $500,000 New York bred by Medaglia d'Oro, we took an ad, a flash ad, that was granted 5 days on the Blood Horse online version. Who shops in New York, and it's a sucky skyline? Darley does. And then it flashed to Don't Miss the Encore, and that was then promoting of the 500,000 New York bred, I should note, was in the open sale. So then we were promoted the New York bred sale that was coming up about me again. I haven't seen any advertising for Green Space, so the ad we took out in the National Racing Museum's museum guide was sending the message. I remember Jackie Moon's had mentioned that she thought we needed to get back to the message of green space and agriculture. So there's an ad promoting that. The others, the VLTs are coming. VLTs are coming. It's probably we're riding through the streets of Manhattan announcing the coming of the VLTs. Grade 1 winner mission approved. We ran an ad to tout that. Again, it's sending the message of excellence, because I think that's something that, as Howard mentioned, we are still trying to overcome. We have excellent horses, and the program is striving for excellence. And in June, I was my first ad, I'd been very excited by the fact that Belmont was offering $60,000 maiden special weight purses to both Open and New York Bred Company. And I thought that was a harbinger of things to come. Unfortunately, it wasn't, because it went back to having the difference in purse rates for them, but it was now New York Reds take a bigger bite of the apple, 60,000 in the special rates. I think that, I spoke to Charlie about this, they didn't have a lot of interest in it this year because trainers weren't used to having the early races. And so if they start to make this a tradition every year, I think you'll see more New York Bred and Open trainers say, hey, I'm going to get the horses ready, not for July in preparation for Saratoga, but let me get my horse ready for the Belmont meet and take advantage of those big purses. Also, I happened when that $500,000 Marlene Brody horse sold to the Sheik, I wanted to advertise that weekend of our sale. And so on the Versus channel, which is covering racing from Saratoga, the summer Saratoga series, I called Molly Brindle. That weekend was already taken. However, she had some inventory that hadn't been sold. Sally Van Lines was kind of on the fence about whether they were going to buy some. So she told me that the ads were $10,000 a pop. And I went to Mike and he said, I didn't have that much. And I said, well, how much can I have? He said, well, possibly 20 to 30. And I know that means don't think any more than 20. So I told her I had 10 to spend. And well, because I still have my other advertising to pay for in the Thurber Times and the Thurber Daily News, I can't take away from that. I already told people how to do it. So, so anyway, she got me, because she was on, had to get rid of the inventory, I got a very good deal. For $10,000, we got two spots on Alabama Day, two spots on Travers Day, and one spot on Woodward Day. Plus, the production house wanted $2,500, but because $1,000 of that was voiceover. I did the voice of it and wrote it, so I didn't have the production or that cost. So for $11,500, we got about $27,500 worth of coverage to new sources of potential buyers of thoroughbreds. I think this is one of the things that that hopefully we'll work together on. We really want to push the demand for New York breeds because if people want to buy them, breeders will get back in the business of breeding them. So it's that notion of excellence, the notion of the desirability of a New York bred. You don't want to breed horses just for the sake of breeding horses. You want to breed them because people are going to want to own them, knowing that they have a chance to go out and make some good money at our New York tracks.
I want to congratulate Tracy for really thinking outside the box and moving quickly. And the TV stuff, weather was great. And plus, we have the advantage of not only saving money on the voiceover, we have one of the most recognizable voices in the Capital District doing the voiceover for it. So I think it will work out pretty darn well. And the ads, the print ads, I think have been very fresh. And they look really sharp, I think. So.
Oh, that's another place they save money. Kathy Taylor, I give her, I'll like scribble three pictures and I label what the pictures mean. She can't recognize it. And then I tell her the concept and then she, because it saves her the think time.
I think it's really good. Dr. Wilmot.
I wanted to echo Chairman Sabine's comments. I think the Versus NBC thing, which has just been renewed, but, was a wonderful, high-quality production. It really put Saratoga and racing on the map. And to get a national spot like that and do it frugally, that's terrific. And so I really want to also thank you and congratulate you. And the print ad I also like, ironically, as I look at the packet, the very first page is the Thurber Daily News, probably the most widely read worldwide thing. And of course, the nice New York print Philly by Sun River. We miss Frankie, won the Grade 1 Del Mar debutante. And below it, if you look at it in red, New York Reds start with a bigger advantage. But guess what? She didn't get a penny to win that race, which was the point that Joe was making earlier.
Right.
So you've raised the bar for us, Tracy, or else we'll be called liars by people out there in the business. We better come up with some money or not put them on the state winners.
Right. Well, the graded stakes winners, I think it makes sense for us to look into rewarding breeders who breed that excellent horse.
Yep. Any other questions or comments on the promotional?
Oh, I just, let's see. I've already reached out to Molly, seeing if we can get in like a first come, first serve discount for next year. Because Frugal is my middle name. and then I want to talk to Jeff about helping to pay for it. And I've already spoken to Fasic Tipton about possibly helping to pay for ads that lead up to our sale.
It's all good. I think we're really getting there. Next item, first parity. We had the request of Mr. McMahon. We wrote a letter to Mr. Hayward, and I'll ask Tracy to provide the response.
Well, there's nothing surprising in the response because I went looking through some old letters that we received going back to Lenny Hale explaining why they won't entertain the notion of having Hearst parity for New York roads. And Charlie cuts to the chase that the current opening company condition in New York for allowance races allows a horse to go through its state bred non-winners of one and state bred non-winners of two, and then run back an open company for the same non-winners of one and non-winners of two. This is a huge financial windfall, he says, for a talented horse. I believe that the goal of the state bred breeding program should be to incentivize breeders to breed horses that can compete in open company, and not to have NIBR provide purses for restricted races to be paid at the same level as open company races. If the logic behind our position is not clear, I would be happy to sit down with our racing department representatives from NYFA, NYTB, and the fund board to have a comprehensive airing on this topic. They have, I mean, as far back as you can go, this is the letter that comes to the fund in response to a request for purse parity.
Well, we're going to invite Charlie to the meeting in October, so.
Well, I think one thing he might posit is, well, if we give first parity, are they going to take away the upper level allowance races?
Right.
I mean, so it's something you might want to think about ahead of time, whether that would be a good thing or a bad thing. If he makes it a trade deal instead of a...
Removing...
Just do the good thing and make them...
I think if you start horse trading like that, you ought to look at your owner's award program that we devised for NIRA. We took fund money, breeder's money, put it into an owner's award program. And if you're going to start horse trading like that, I think that's on the table.
The owner's awards.
The owner's awards, absolutely. They were designed solely to put horses in open company.
In the box.
It's breeder's money, it's fund money, and it's a lot of it. And, we're already augmenting their purses at a pretty good clip when you look at the owner's awards we spend and the amount of owner's award money we're going to put in there this year. So if that's the way, if that's a condition that, okay, we're going to do this, should be on the table. Should be on the table. So, I would hope that it wouldn't, that there's some sort of a, way to deal with this thing, but
I don't see them removing the open condition. They need these horses. They can't remove. I mean, are we thinking that they've removed the? If
no.
You want a state bred race, you wouldn't be able to qualify.
Well,
for the,
the second two levels where you can roll back. You've already won two allowance races, but they allow you now to roll back and compete against
in open.
Them.
I don't see how they ever would do that because they have the biggest problem going filling those races to begin with. Wow, they're going to remove another whole segment of horse.
I think that people are going to be entranced by the larger purses and keep their horses there. But Gulfstream already traded some dates with Calder, so now Gulfstream's going to open in December.
Yep.
And that's going to be a big lure. A lot of New York trainers head to Florida with the birds, and they like to see their horses run. So maybe they won't have as, at least in the winter months, as big a draw as predicted.
I think they're going to have a bigger issue with open races in the winter months than they've ever had because of that Gulfstream.
And they have an issue with it year round.
Yeah,
they'll take entries for a non-winners of two and get six horses going a mile, and they'll put on an extra for $25,000 claimers going five and a half on the turf. It'll get 11, and they'll use the turf race. I mean, they talk about quality, And yet, what they're really talking about is field size. That's the real bottom line.
That's why they make the money.
That's why they make the money. I mean, they've said it publicly time and time again. Every starter earns $120,000 from NYRA. That doesn't matter if it's a New York bred, a Kentucky bred, or an Arkansas bred. If it's running in New York, that's what it means to NYRA. And field size is the bottom line. That's what it's all about.
And the Racing and Wagering Board has worked with them to help increase field size by doing things like, you know, uncoupling entries. And,
right. So.
And we're going to be doing more.
So there you are again. I mean, it's just a reason why shouldn't a New York bred who earns just as much money as his fellow Kentucky bred for NYRA in any race, why should he be penalized with less money? Doesn't make good sense. And I'm all for the quality thing. Maybe we should put in some sort of a bonus for quality. But to across the board just say, no, you're worth less, nonsense.
Okay. As you all know, the Authority Budget Office is requiring us to file a mission statement, which they thought was the one we had on file was inadequate because it did not sufficiently explain the purpose of the fund and what we do. The revised draft was circulated at our last meeting to board members, and there was an extensive discussion. We decided we'd table the item until this meeting. Is Harry on the phone?
I am.
Okay, good. At that time, I asked Harry, Mr. McMahon, Dr. Wilmot, and Mr. Graziano to discuss the issue. I remember a piece of paper being passed around the table as part of the extensive discussion. And we're here to discuss the mission statement. I'll ask since, Harry, you have it in front of you?
I do not have it in front
of me.
All right, then it's a very succinct, and I think we've talked about it. It says what we do. I think we feel comfortable with it, and we're asking the board to approve it.
Joe, you want to read the mission statement so we have it on the record?
The mission statement that was approved by the committee was reads like this: to promote by monetary incentives the responsible breeding of quality thoroughbred racehorses in keeping with the founding legislation to preserve New York's irreplaceable farmland.
I make a motion to approve that mission statement. I think it's well done.
Mr. Canizzo makes a motion to approve and submit the mission statement to the Authority's Budget Office. Second, I believe, by Mr. Tessaro first. Thanks for chiming in. All those in favor?
Aye.
Okay, mission statement approved. I'll direct staff to submit that as well to the ABO. Anyone have any new business? You know, Aqueduct, the machines have been delivered. The date is not absolutely certain of opening, but it's within the foreseeable future being before the Breeders' Cup.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
This is an administrative thing, not a policy thing, really. I believe I emailed Tracy during the race meet. I met with Dr. Doug Cook of Bircher's Stud in the paddock one day at Saratoga Racecourse. Most of you know Dr. Cook, a former member of this board, former president of New York Thoroughbred Breeders, and a very prominent, if somewhat eccentric, breeder. Anyway. Doug said that he was having difficulty in cashing or depositing his award checks with his bank, that the bank claimed that checks that were made out to more than one party because of some new banking regulation were not acceptable. So I told him I would pass that on, and that's all I know. I wondered if you guys had a chance to look into it.
Yes, because he's not the only one. The fund for a long time has had a one horse, one check policy because, like every partnership is different. Sometimes it's 50-50, sometimes one-third. It really is, if you're doing a breeder split, the tax partner files with us and then the tax partner should be responsible for paying the other partner. And also, it's up to them then to, if they want to report to the IRS the income that was passed on.
So we've always done, we just give 1099s to, we're the managing partner, but, so can these not be deposited anymore then? Anybody else?
There's no change to what we've done.
I've heard from a couple of people that have had problems.
My bank is always accepted, so I forged the signature. I mean, I got the signature and everything worked just fine.
But what I have always done is get the other person to sign, or I'll sign it and send it to that person. It's one of the things where you really have to trust the people that you're doing business with. And I always tell people, get it in writing. Whatever your partnership agreement is, get it in writing.
But you don't know of any banking regulation that prevents the depositing of the multi-party checks?
Then? Mike?
No, they just each bank might have a more restrictive policy if they want in terms of if they'll supply endorsement or not. Yeah.
Just turn the check over and 3 people. Well,
yeah.
Don't make you think I'm right.
So is the issue here that they want everybody who's named on the check to endorse the check?
No, because Cook did that and Glenn still wouldn't accept it because it was a multi-party check. That's what he said. Now, this is strictly telling you what he told me.
Was it a Swedish bank or?
The others I've heard of were people who only wanted to sign themselves, didn't have the other party sign, to which I said, get the other party to sign. Or make an agreement with them, and we would have to hear from them too to tell us so and so is the tax partner, issue the check only in that person's name, and then it's up to that tax partner to let the government know if you know how much money they paid out from their share to the other party.
That might be the way around it if someone's having a particular problem with their bank. I mean, you know, some banks will also.
Doug Crowley has a very special bank.
Yeah, sometimes they'll withhold availability of the funds for a certain period of time to allow for any, if there's a dispute to arise. But Norton, I think we have a draft form for entities to use so that they can formally document that the partners are.
Yeah, for that, for us to change it so we only write the check in one name, everybody who's part of that partnership has to inform us.
So that's how he would have to solve it. He would have to get a notarized statement from his partner saying that the check could be made out just
in. We have a form. I haven't put it on the website yet.
Okay,
but.
Great. There's satisfaction. Thank you.
Any other business?
While we're on the administrative side, we have our next meeting set for October 22nd, but I don't know of anybody else. I didn't get notice for this meeting until this Monday. That's very difficult, especially in the
fall. That's my fault. I thought when I booked the room that the word went out. Because we knew we were going to have it in September. And
well, I think if we could get a meeting schedule set forth, and also, and Tracy, I sent you an email, when we get the agendas, you know, I like to see the backup, the minutes, the financials. I mean, as long as we're getting that stuff all in advance, we have a set schedule. We should have any action items should come with.
Let's try to do better on that.
Well, I'll give you the agenda that I have. Sometimes I get it back and it's been changed. The minutes, by the way, when I send them out, I think I must have had 5 different people pick up on time mistakes, like 2 periods.
No, I understand, but when a board packet go out, the backup should be there. If there's changes, they can be made at the board meeting.
What's the date? October what?
22nd. Down
Elmont, New York.
And we'll find out what room we can get.
Right. If there are no further business, thank you, Harry. Thank you, Jeff, for attending. And I'll send a moment to motion adjourn.
So moved.
Second? All those in favor?
Aye.